Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. And this is episode 116, Rage Against Amateur Nation. Topic number one. I've often read that running an airline is one of the toughest jobs, or I should say industries, on the planet. Keeping costs down, but adhering to ever-changing safety regulations while staying on top of technology to make planes and the entire system run more efficiently. And don't forget trying to stay affordable and competitive, updating routes, improving the actual flying experience with better seating and food and courtesy and ease of check-in, managing luggage transport. It's exhausting just talking about it. So, how do you make it easier on yourselves as an airline operator, owner, CEO? Well, I don't know how to make it easier, but United Airlines knows how to make it harder on themselves. From news outlets everywhere, here you go. United Airlines says it wants 50% of pilots trained in the next decade to be women or people of color. No word about those minor things required for the job, like skill, ability to handle stress, mental stability, or competency. Can you imagine being on the flight that's going down? We're gonna die! Well, at least the pilot is a Hispanic woman. Guess it's time to cash in my frequent flyer miles on United. United. Now there's some irony. Follow-up question. Why now? They just realized this non-problem? Here's the go-to response from amateurs. Lou, how can you be against diversity? Did I say I was against diversity? Well, here's how I can be against diversity. It's easy. When it circumvents quality, qualifications, safety, integrity, skill set, experience, and character. Once all those things are met, I don't care what your background is. I'm all for diversity. But until then, especially if you're flying a plane at 600 plus miles per hour full of trusting passengers that are diverse in nature, I want the most qualified person, male or female, for the job. Same goes for doctors, lawyers, and grocery store baggers. Period. Pros have standards. Amateurs have feelings, weakness, and guilty consciences. Topic number two. A is for amateur, and B is for boycott. Saw this on social media everywhere. Ice cream hippies Ben and Jerry's call for abolishing police. Says entire system must be dismantled because it, quote, here comes one of those multisyllabic phrases we all love from Amateur Nation, intentionally criminalizes black and brown communities. There is so much wrong here. Let's do it alphabetically, shall we? Ben and Jerry's wants to abolish police altogether. No police. A. That is, until someone breaks into the Ben & Jerry's corporate headquarters, then of course they would want the police. Add this to the list of companies I will boycott. Which sends me to B. How insulting to the black and brown communities is that? So because the police simply exist, that makes black and brown people commit crime. It's like the Manchurian Candidate. Because the police arrive, must commit crime. C, how many dozen interviews with minorities in bad crime-ridden, poverty-stricken, downtrodden cities and communities have to be seen where those very minorities absolutely say unequivocally that they don't want the police defunded, let alone abolished? I'm sure the criminals are down with that. D, so get rid of the police. Yeah, that's working really well for Portland and Minnesota and Los Angeles and Chicago and New York. And those are just cities where police forces have been cut back. E, another example of amateurs thinking that just because they make a declaration, it's true, it's correct, and fact-based. F, another example of stringing multisyllabic words together in an effort to sound official, going back to their, quote, where they said, it intentionally criminalizes black and brown communities. Now, I realize black and brown communities aren't exact, none of those are hard words, but when you string them all together, it just sounds so scientific and credible and true. But I've made one up before on this show, so I'll do it again, off the cuff, all right? This is improv, okay? It's simply combining nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. All right, hang on, let me think of one here. Okay. I'm thinking of my lovely friend Rachel's dog, Major. She just adopted this new dog, Major. Cute dog, right? Just got him neutered. Let me just try one here. Instituting male dog neutering mandates enforced patriarchal restrictions akin to slavery. Boom! That's a thing now! I just said it! All right, okay. Well, you think I was lucky that time? Here's another example. All right, I'm looking out the window here, my office. Okay. Fuck it. Let's just do windows. Windows encourage minorities to systematically initiate invasive criminal activities. Look at that. I said something nonsensical and found a way to insult and condescend to minorities. I could be an amateur with no training. Gee, about that word communities. Again, because they said it intentionally criminalizes black and brown communities. What is the black and brown community exactly? Now, where I grew up, a community, it's not really an official city corporation. It's not quite a town. I might even call it a neighborhood. But an entire population of people, regardless of color or heritage, is not a community. It's a race of people. How hard is it to say it's a race of people? But they can't say that because race sounds too much like racism. And that's how stupid they are. They don't know the difference between the word race and racism. And I thought woke amateur nation wasn't supposed to generalize people, by the way. H, when did it become ice cream's place to preach about social issues and politics? Of course, this reeks of virtue signaling and bandwagoning. I, to that order, Ben and Jerry's, why the fervor now? J, I will buy my ice cream and or any other product from companies that only concentrate on two things, making their product and good customer service. Stay in your lane. Follow me on Instagram at LouSantini3 and on Farcebook, facebook.com/LouSantiniEntertainment, back at about 60. There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read,
the Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur.
Amateur habitats and history.
Social media plus me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number 3. I saw this posted. People who haven't been sick all year are willing to get sick from a shot to feel protected from something that hasn't made them sick all year? Man, I love that kind of common sense. Right? Argue with that. I'll say it again. The post, someone had posted, they saw it actually stapled to a telephone pole. It was a photo. It said, people who haven't been sick all year are willing to get sick from a shot to feel protected from something that hasn't made them sick all year? Okay, let's talk about this. Meanwhile, as I mentioned last week, Texas is wide open and has had the lowest COVID cases since June of last year. And yet, I hear and see amateurs posting things like, well, we shall see, and they don't test as much as the rest of the nation. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's what you got? We shall see, and you just assume they're not testing as much? Yeah, because they just don't care. They're not testing nothing. Over a year has gone by. Why would you not want to see encouraging common sense news? Factual, real science-based news that even for which Dr. Keebler L. Fauci has no explanation. Why not be encouraged? If you had cancer and the doctor tells you your cancer is gone, would you reply, well, let's wait and see? I'm not comparing cancer to COVID in terms of severity, but considering the mental, emotional, and physical grip this created virus has on amateurs, you'd think they'd take solace and find relief in real, concrete, in-your-face evidence that this has been a waste of their time worrying. But their feelings have replaced rational thinking. Don't you think it's odd that they are using fear to market this vaccine? Advertisements for prescription medication usually says things like, well, if you have this ailment, this might help, with side effects listed. In fact, every comedian has a hacky joke about the side effects are worse than the illness or the injury. Right. And those regular prescription medication commercials often advise you to talk to your doctor. Not this vaccine. Just get it. But when you see ads that say, until the vaccine is everywhere, this virus is not going anywhere, that's fear-mongering. That's unethical. And that's morally bankrupt and capitalizing on the weak-willed amateurs. Usually, the approach to advertising medicine is gentle and fact-based. But instead, we are getting rhyming slogans with cartoons. But only until you are ready to admit as to how many people really had or died from COVID, you will always be living in fear. I know some people have responded by saying, maybe we just don't want to get sick, Lou. Guess what? People get sick in life. It's going to happen. And if you're willing to roll the dice on an experimental drug with who knows what side effects that is endorsed by celebrities, and we are being told you can't sue, sorry, I call bullshit. I saw this string of thumbnail photos and stories on Farcebook from USA Today. New York's Rockefeller Plaza transformed into an outdoor vaccine station, and showing the Today Show anchors lining up to get it. From 17 magazine, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner are vaccine couples. Oh, you guys, they're vaccine couple. I want to be a vaccine couple. Yeah, that's normal. Make sure you influence and pressure those weak-willed millennials who are aching to fit in and need to be trendy. Kill them off first, right? Get them nice and sterile. Oh, I can't say that because I have no evidence that it causes sterility or death. All right, well, how is that any different from the pharmaceutical company shoving an untested, unnecessary vaccine down the throats of unsuspecting Americans? And you can't sue. It's reckless medicine, and you all know it. At least with my words, no one dies for sure. So I guess if you're a guest at a party of a friend's house, meaning let's say you went along because you know your friend, but maybe you don't know the host. And the host, who you've never met, walks in and hands you a drink and says, slam this. And you would just do it. Could be a roofie, could be laced with LSD, could be arsenic. But it might be okay. But just to be cool and to fit in, you just do it and keep your fingers crossed. That's what this is. Big Pharma is throwing the party, no one knows the host, and the guests are the guinea pigs. And believe me, I'd rather be wrong on all of this, on this side of the fence, than on the other side. Here's another fun fact from Billboard magazine. Britney Spears got her COVID-19 vaccine. Well, I do whatever Britney Spears does. There's a woman with a proven track record of sanity and living a regular life like the rest of us, not insulated at all. The fact that nothing is being done about the untested for COVID illegal immigrants crossing the border says one of two things, that COVID really is and never has been that prolific. I didn't say not serious, I said prolific. And we were lied to about its numbers since it's going unchecked at the border. Or two, the CDC and this administration are hypocritical liars and are shoving a vaccine down our throats that is untested and forcing us to wear masks for almost a year and a half while shutting down most of the country, but yet have no qualms about inviting illegal immigrants who could be sick or are criminals into our borders. By the way, two fun facts. I know, amateurs, it's not feelings, but be ready. Here come some facts. New CDC study finds that nearly 80% of people hospitalized for COVID were overweight or obese. Stay inside with the sick and limited exercise. Great advice, CDC. And also, here's another one. The regular flu is down from 38 million people in 2019 to 2020 to just 1,822 in the 2020-2021 season. It's a miracle. Oh, and one last thing. I don't take untested experimental vaccines to make you feel better. Time now for Off Topic. Here we go. You know, as much as I love the band, funny how Rage Against the Machine has lyrics that are more appropriate to the state of the United States now than when they were written. They were raging against the wrong machine. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Right? Here's a found headline. David Hogg leaves pillow company he launched to compete with Mike Lindell. Here's the rest of the headline that should have appeared. Realizes work is hard. Well, he did give it the whole 2 months. Why didn't he just cash in his white privilege card? I mean, that's instant success, right? In other news from Entrepreneur Magazine, McDonald's apologizes for understaffing. Nobody wants to work anymore, says McDonald's. Hey, draw your own conclusions. Let common sense be your guide. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. At Street People of Los Angeles on Instagram. Now, if you're not on Instagram, you need to follow this page. Granted, it's only Southern California and may not affect where you live, and you may not see these types of things where you live, which would be a good thing. But this is the biggest city in California, second biggest in the United States. Now, technically, LA is the biggest city in the United States when you consider LA County and the greater Los Angeles area. Like New York City proper has, what, 12 million? LA City proper has like 7 to 8 million. But in the LA County surrounding areas, it's like 35 million. But I digress. California leads the nation in contributing to our gross national product. But we've got 400,000 homeless in some of the wealthiest parts of California. So if it can happen there, it can and will happen everywhere. This is what amateur leadership has turned it into. Again, at Street People of Los Angeles on Instagram. California now is Detroit back in 2008. Warning, some videos are disturbing. Outright haunting, showing homelessness, fires, drug overdoses, assaults, and more inhumanity to man, while head in the sand and or exasperated Californians ignore and do nothing. Them and their precious weather, they'll die broke and assaulted in year-round 75-degree heat. Any and every politician on the local level all the way up to Emperor Newsom should be held down a la Clockwork Orange and be forced to watch this with their eyes propped open until they admit they are the problem and are corrupt communist supporters. Number two. Also found on Instagram, this guy. Here's the heading. Black Americans speak out against BLM. Now, going by the surroundings, I'm pretty sure it looks like Southern California. It's irrelevant because his words say it all, but I think I recognize that area. I want to say he's in Huntington Beach, but I could be wrong about that. But it's just a random black citizen speaking out against BLM. Listen, it's all logic and common sense.
Full of hate. Nobody listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't try to understand them. Why? They are full of hate. You don't need it. America don't need it. In a black neighborhood, black on black crime is real, and most of them are dying from black crime. White people aren't doing anything to them. White people voted Barack Obama in for 8 years. 8 years. Everything that the blacks could be crying about should have did it on his watch, and they did it.
Amen.
So they keep listening to somebody making you think they're going through this. Some little young 19-year-old black person, they've been through this. They ain't been through nothing. They're creating it. They're creating a problem.
What do I add to that? Number three. Now, I found this on Instagram. It's at @B_inspired_news. At @B_inspired_news. It's a great link there on Instagram. Here's the headline. Student raises more than $55,000 for his teacher living out of his car. Here's the story. A former substitute teacher who fell on hard times got help from one of his former students in the best way possible. Jose Villarruel, 77 years old, who goes by Mr. V, worked as a substitute teacher in California for decades. Stephen Nava, a former student, remembered meeting Mr. V in 2014 during his freshman year of high school. He was a pretty cool teacher, and he wasn't like those sort of substitute teachers who would just take attendance and then just sit and have the class go crazy. He was really passionate about making sure everybody is getting something out of the whole lecture. After Nava graduated, he began noticing Mr. V in his neighborhood. I didn't think he was homeless or anything. Until this year, I started seeing him more frequently, he said. At first, Nava spotted Mr. V at the fast food joint near where he went to college. Then Nava noticed Mr. V's car would be parked in his neighborhood each morning when he went to work. What Nava did not know is that Mr. V had been living out of his car for 8 years. When the pandemic forced many businesses and schools to close and operate remotely, Villaruel decided to resign from his substitute job so he could collect his pension. The money was not enough for him to sustain himself. Villaruel told Nava about his situation, prompting Nava to give him $300 and a hotel room. Nava was able to locate temporary housing for Villaruel, but he wanted to do more. So Nava created a GoFundMe page. The first campaign raised $27,480. The page got a lot of attention from the media, former students, and local officials. So after Nava and the community gathered to present him with the first $27,000 check, Nava created another page, Keep Mr. V Moving. The second page brought more than $27,000, with the grand total more than $55,000. Ah, goosebumps. Still hope for the pros. Well, instead of a normal play out, since I mentioned it earlier, we'll leave you with a little bit of Rage Against the Machine. Hi, I'm Casey Kasem, and this is going out to all the politicians and anyone in government that seeks to steal our rights and freedoms and shoving masks and vaccines down our throats. Email me, lou@lousantini.com. Download my book from Amazon. Subscribe to the YouTube page. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Bye, Lou. Gonna miss you.